Scripture passage from Luke is probably one that's familiar to most of us. It is a passage that is often used right around Thanksgiving because it is a story of someone who gives thanks. But as we are journeying through the Gospels and are now into the Gospel of Luke, in fact, into the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we're making progress, aren't we? This particular story jumped out at me. But it wasn't the story so much as what immediately followed it. But let's unpack that a little bit. First of all, this business of people with leprosy. Leprosy was not something that was even known in first century Palestine. It's a word that we have taken and sort of put back onto the story. And actually, this business of leprosy is really meant to name any kind of sort of repulsive, flaky, scaly condition on the skin or on the clothing or even in your home. Think mold. That would be included in this broad definition. And so what do the Hebrew scriptures say someone is to do with if they're found with this kind of condition? First of all, they're forced to live outside of the cities or the towns because there was some fear that this condition could be passed on to someone else. And not only did they have to live outside the towns or the cities, but they had to keep at least 50 yards or so from anyone else. And if anyone got too close, they would have to call out, unclean, unclean, naming themselves and warning people to stay away. Can you imagine living like that? It's horrible. It's terrible. However, the Hebrew scriptures also say that it was possible to recover, to get well, to be healed, to find that your skin condition or the mold in your home or whatever was gone for whatever reason. And there was a whole list then of things that you could do, which included things like going to the priest, going through a ritual, which would normally include some kind of bathing if it was the person. And then they were allowed to return to the community. So this wasn't necessarily something that kept you out for the rest of your life. It was possible to recover and come home. Well, in this particular story, we have 10 people, and it's very interesting. They don't call out as Jesus and his band of people approaches. They don't call out, unclean, unclean. They recognize Jesus because they've heard about him. And they call out, Master, Rabbi, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And Jesus does. He has mercy. Hold on to that. He has mercy, and he said, go on your way, go see the priests, and along the way you'll be made clean. So the 10, can you imagine being one of them? They turn around and they go. One returns. There's all kinds of conjecture about why maybe the other 9 didn't. Someone has written this. Well, one waited to see if the cure was real. Not going to go back until I'm sure. One waited to see if it would last. Well, I'm okay right now, but tomorrow, how am I going to be? One said he'd see Jesus later. One decided that he'd never had the problem to begin with. Another said, well, I would have gotten well anyway. One gave glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. And another said, well, you know, any rabbi could have done this. And one said, well, I was already much improved. All kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses. But the one who returned to give glory to God, interestingly, he bows down at Jesus' feet and gives glory to God because I believe he saw God working through Jesus. Gives glory to God. And Jesus says, ah, are you the only one? And look at you, you're a Samaritan. You're a foreigner. I will go there. A foreigner. The one who would have been excluded anyway because he was mixed race. You see, the Samaritans had intermarried. They were Jews who had intermarried with other people who had come and taken over the country, and so they were mixed race. They weren't full Jews. And they practiced a little bit of a different religion, and they believed that God should be worshipped on their mountain, not in Jerusalem. And so there was a great enmity between Samaritans and Jews who had remained pure. I'm going there. Jews who had worshipped the right way, their religion was better than some other religion, if you get my drift. But it was this one who returned to say thank you. One person has written, gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and spiritual condition. The absence of the ability to be grateful reveals self-centeredness or the attitude that I deserve more than I ever get, so I do not need to be grateful. I'll say that again, Gloria. Gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and spiritual condition. The absence of the ability to be grateful reveals self-centeredness or the attitude that I deserve more than I could ever get, and so I do not need to be grateful. I'll go there. So there's this business about being grateful, about being the outsider who is grateful, about the outsider being the one who returned, the outsider who recognizes his need, recognizes God's mercy, and says, thank you. Thank you. We don't know whatever became of that Samaritan. My guess is he continued to be a Samaritan. We don't know what happened. But we do know that this particular incident is followed up with a few words. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. When's it going to show up, Jesus? And Jesus answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. In fact, the kingdom of God is among you. The reign of God is already present among us. Now, some people want to over-spiritualize this, you know? I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. My personal possession. I've got it and I'm keeping it. I'm not going to give it to anybody else. But I think we need to be reminded on occasion what Jesus was really all about. What was he really about? And so I want to go back to a couple passages, one in Luke, where Jesus begins his ministry. And he, if you remember, he goes out into the wilderness, and we, during this season of Lent, these 40 days that he was in the wilderness are an example for us as well in these 40 days of Lent. And when he was done with that period of testing, he went back to Galilee, where he was from. And he began to teach in the synagogues. And when he finally came to Nazareth, his hometown, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, Luke says, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me. Why? To bring good news to the poor. God sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back and sat down, and everyone was looking at him. And he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What he was saying at the very beginning of his ministry was, "This is why I came. This is what I'm about." So to be a follower of Jesus is to be about the things that Jesus is about. Amen?
Amen.
And so when we look and find out what Jesus was about, he was about healing. He was about good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freeing those who are oppressed, and proclaiming the year of God's favor. That's what Jesus was about. And if we are to look for the reign of God, we look to see if those things are going on among us. If you get my drift. When these things begin to disappear, then the reign of God is no longer active. Something else is going on. What else did Jesus say? Now I'm going back to Matthew. Words both in Luke and in Matthew, which you've already read if you're reading through the Gospels. So let me just remind you from the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And the king will then say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by God, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the righteous will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? When did we do these things? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he'll say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? And truly he will answer them, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I think we continue to ask, when is the reign of God present? When is the kingdom of God made evident? And the answer is really very simple. It has to do with seeing others as Jesus sees them, and seeing Jesus in them, and taking care of one another. You see, Jesus' own words and his stories tell us when the reign of God is evident, when it is evident in our midst. There are some who would believe that we need to run things like a theocracy. We'll have God in charge. What does it mean when God is in charge? What have we been told that it means? It means there'll be a sense of morality. Do you ever get scared when you start hearing that kind of stuff? You know? Whose morality? I know I sometimes feel left out when people start to get morality. I don't know about you. You know? I sometimes feel left out. But if we're really going to look to what God would have us do, we simply follow the words of Jesus. Now, is this simple? Is it easy? Oh, no. No. But when we see things happening that go against the spirit of the reign of God, don't you think you should speak up? Don't you think maybe it's time to send a postcard to somebody? Make a phone call to somebody. When you see the least of these being left out, shuffled aside, fearful for their own lives. Oh, but Pastor, there's nothing I can do. I'm just a simple person. One person can change the world. Jesus did. One person can make a difference. Rosa Parks did. One person can make a difference. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. One person can make a difference, either by sitting down or by standing up. You see, too often I think we think it's up to somebody else. Somebody else will take care of that. You know, the more political people will take care of that. You know, Jake will make sure, you know, Jake will make sure that trans folks are taken care of. It's not just up to Jake.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's our responsibility to care for one another. This past Sunday, we had a first meeting of a social justice team. And there were a few folks I know who wanted to be there who couldn't be there. Even yet, we had 19 people show up. And although I will admit that one of the issues that I would have loved for us to have dealt with got left off, environment, that's okay, we'll get to that. Three groups formed. Feel free to join any of them. One to deal with, I'm not sure they've named themselves yet, Floss, immigrants and refugees. A second group, and I'm not sure who's in charge of that one. Kate? Kate will be in charge of that one. Kate says, oh, okay. To deal with people who are coming out of incarceration, to help women who are in prison, to help those who have records and can't get good, whatever the reason is around our justice system, which is not really a justice system, by the way. It's an injustice system, but I won't go there this morning. And then a third group around trans issues. I'm excited about all three. And there's so much that could be done with all three. One person has says, you know that the reign of God is present insofar as the Spirit of Christ is present. And the work of redemption is continuing. And redemption is just not, oh, my heart, I've given my heart to Jesus. That's just such a small part of redemption. Redemption has to do with everything. Redeeming society. So when is the reign of God present? It's when we realize that it's up to us to be Jesus, to be followers of Jesus in the world. And when we become active doing that, then the reign of God is present. It expands. You begin to see it in more places. And I know that we're a small community, but oh, what a difference we could make if we pay attention to the words of Jesus and seek to follow where he leads in the present day. Just as there were lepers in Jesus' time, those who felt apart from and outside of and were forced onto the edges, there are lepers in our world too. And we may no longer call them lepers, but we call them homeless or poor or trans. We call them immigrant, undocumented. We have all kinds of names. And yet Jesus said, be whole. And wholeness means inclusion in the community. It means becoming a part of. It means finding that place where you acknowledge God's mercy and love. And a lot of people can't get there unless we look them in the eye and say, be whole. Unless we embrace them. You know, I'm big on hugging, aren't I? Shouldn't we all be? Yes. Embracing those who might be different. Let them know that they have a home in our arms. Let me finish with this quote from Wesley Taylor from United Methodist Church in Oregon. We are God's people, touched by the Spirit. For what reason? To witness more effectively, to think more clearly, to feel more deeply, to listen more insightfully, to speak more truthfully, to love more extravagantly, to care more soulfully, to serve more creatively, to give more lavishly, to encourage more lovingly, to live more fully, to teach more eloquently, and to give more generously. My prayer is that we might see the reign of God at work among us and in our community and in our country and in our world. Amen.
Amen.
God, we thank you for sending Jesus. There are times when he bothers us a whole lot because we get uncomfortable with some of the things that he says and with a lot of the things that he does. And yet, here we are, seeking to be followers of him, to be seen as his disciples. And we know that his disciples didn't always get it right in that present day, nor do we always get it right in our own. But we're striving, God, to be more like Jesus day by day. So continue to allow us to see his words as more than letters on a piece of paper, but as words that come alive in us and through us, that your Spirit might be at work in us and among us in such a way that your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be disciples of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen.